he talks about this sonnet, in which there are these four lines: "But heaven in thy creation did decree that in thy face sweet love should ever dwell. Whate'er thy thoughts or thy heart's workings be, thy looks should nothing thence but sweetness tell." It's a darling Elizabethan conceit. And these lines work equally well whether you put a period at the end of line two or at the end of line three. See, if we stop at the end of line two, it would read, "But heaven in thy creation did decree that in thy face sweet love should ever dwell." New sentence. "Whate'er thy thoughts or thy heart's workings be, thy looks should nothing thence but sweetness tell." But if we put the period at the end of line three, it reads, "But heaven in thy creation did decree that thy looks should ever dwell, whate'er thy thoughts or thy heart's workings be," period. New sentence. "Thy looks should nothing thence but sweetness tell." Well, and doesn't this double grammar or double syntax belong within the same mode of aesthetic ambiguity as contrapuntal grammar in music? No, it doesn't, for the simple reason that the doubleness of that third line of Shakespeare's is not a simultaneous doubleness. It is either the end of a sentence or the start of another sentence. And the resulting sense of ambiguity may occupy a given moment in time, but the line itself, the actual aesthetic surface, does not. Whereas the musical lines in Mozart, on the other hand, all occupy the same momentary span in time. They literally move together. Now, of course, one more second of thought on this matter, and we'll all be trapped in a discussion of aesthetic time, of virtual time versus clock time, and clock time is what we don't have for this particular digression.